I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to the first chapter of the book of Daniel. Daniel for us today is a profile in courage. My first question to you this morning is, have you ever felt like a foreigner in your own country? I think as we grow older, we have to kind of consider previous generations. My grandfather, when my mom told him that she was pregnant, said to her, "Don't you think you should think about it with the way the world is going?" When we told my parents that we were expecting Michael, my mother said, "Don't you think you should think about it with the way the world is going?" And I think there is a tendency for each generation, as we get older and see things changing all around us, we have that tendency too to think, boy, the world's not getting any better. And sometimes we feel like a foreigner in our own country. But you know, as morality changes, we shouldn't feel at home in this world. There's a song that goes like that. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. When my Uncle Ray died and we had his funeral, my cousin got up with one of my other cousins and sang the Beckon song. We said, "What's the Beckon song?" "The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore." And so perhaps the Lord designed it so that as we get older in this life, we have a yearning for heaven. Our desire is no longer for our own kingdom here on earth, but for the kingdom of God. I tend to fellowship with some pastors who are about my age. And recently I heard a preacher who is just about my age say, "You can't buy too many guns and ammunition." And he said it again, "You can't buy too many guns and ammunition." And he said, "Let me say that again. You can't buy too many guns and ammunition." And as I sat there listening to him, I said, "You know, he's right. There's no way that you can buy too many guns and ammunition if the Lord isn't in the factor." But you see, we don't need guns and ammunition because we have Jesus. I'm not saying that you can't have guns and ammunition, but you better not depend on guns and ammunition if you don't have the Lord. He was talking about your neighbors coming in and stealing your stuff and killing you for your food and all. No. For this too, we have Jesus. Another friend of mine, he's turned to some website and talks about, I can't even remember the name. But what he wants to do is, in the United States, in the rural areas, he thinks we should be setting up the land of Goshen. So he's going to the community leaders and he's telling them what we need to do is we need to have these places set aside with stockpiles of food. Kind of like bomb shelters. Filled with 3.5 year supplies or 7 year supply of whatever we might need for. No. Even in the Old Testament, it was God that made Goshen, Goshen. It wasn't Joseph. It wasn't the people of Israel. It was God who made where they lived a special place. Our God still reigns. Our God is still all powerful. And Daniel is a great example of courage in the face of these types of challenges. Look at chapter 1 in Daniel, verses 1 through 7. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom there was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter into the king's personal service. Now among them, from the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them, and to Daniel he assigned the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Verses 1 through 7 describe Daniel's circumstances. Look at verse 4. Daniel was of royal descent. There could have been pride involved, but instead of pride, there was loyalty. Daniel and his friends were good-looking young men. The word literally meant that he was pleasing in appearance. He knew how to present himself in the king's court. We are today in times of transition. Not quite ready for the jacket yet, but the tie is back. It's starting to get cooler. We try to do our best with what the Lord has given to us. It says Daniel showed intelligence in every branch of wisdom. Daniel was able to apply knowledge, and that was a very good trait. Wisdom is practical knowledge. There's a lot of head knowledge going on. There's a lot of what's known as common core. But you need to be able to apply the facts that you learn, to not only know them, but to be able to use them. I had an algebra teacher in high school. She taught us the facts. But a lot later in life, I was talking with someone who told me if I knew algebra, I would know how much cement to order to lay down a cement pad. I said, I wish I had known that back when I was taking algebra, because I would have paid more attention. To know that there was something practical you could use that knowledge for. So Daniel IV was qualified to serve in the palace. He had social ability. He knew how to act in various social settings. When Daniel arrived in Babylon, three things were required of him. He was given, again in verse 4, a new education. 3 years he would be educated in the ways of the Chaldeans. And he accepted that. He was given a new name in verse 7. His name was Daniel, and it meant God is my judge. it was changed to Belteshazzar, which means Bel, a Babylonian god, protects his life. And the third change was he was given new food to eat, the meat that had been offered to idols, and the wine from the king's table. Now here's a good spot to apply the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Daniel changed the things that he could change, and he accepted the things that he couldn't change. He accepted the new education. Perhaps language would have gone along with that. He accepted the things that he had been instructed in. And so many times today, people reject the education or the system of education that we have in America without realizing that God has made us missionaries in the public school system. He accepted his new education. He accepted his new name. And when you think about the name that he accepted, it was a Babylonian name. It had a name of a Babylonian god in it. But this tells us something about Daniel as well. You see, he served under three emperors. He served under Nebuchadnezzar. He served under Darius, or Darius, however you would like to say that. And he served under Cyrus. So he outlasted a number of these emperors. But all through the book, notice the book's name is not Belshazzar. The book's name is Daniel. And it wasn't Belshazzar that went into the lion's den. It was Daniel who went into the lion's den. So some things change, but they don't change. And even in the midst of his re-education, he stayed faithful and loyal to the Lord. Even in the midst of his name change, he remained faithful and loyal to the Lord. So he accepted his new education. He accepted his new name, but he challenged his new food. And I kind of wonder, you know, why the challenge there? He said he would not, in verse 8, Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Back in the Old Testament, the Jewish people had a strict code to follow. There were a number of animals they were forbidden to eat. They couldn't eat pork or pork products. Sorry, no bacon. They could not eat shellfish. No lobster and clams. And any number of other things. This was changed in the New Testament when Peter in the book of Acts was praying and the Lord lowered a sheet from heaven with a bunch of unclean animals in it. And he said, Peter, take, kill, and eat. And so those regulations, the kosher regulations of the Old Testament, were canceled or not brought over into the New Testament. That's why we can enjoy bacon today. Aren't you glad? Another concern that Daniel would have had was that the meat that was offered had been offered to idols. And so in accepting that meat, Daniel would have been taking part in worshiping other gods. And for those reasons, Daniel chose the courage to change the things I can change. In verse 8, which I just read, he had a positive approach. He didn't just cross his arms and say, no, I'm not going to eat that bacon. He went to the one in charge. He went to the person in charge and he sought permission. And that's a big difference. In verse 9, God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander and the officials. He was liked. In fact, you might say he was loved by the person who was in charge. Sometimes we think as Christians that we are being persecuted when we're just being difficult. We need the wisdom to know the difference. Verse 10, he had open communication. The commander of the official said to Daniel, "I'm afraid of my lord the king who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king." See the dialogue that was there. This official was able to communicate his fears to Daniel. "I would like to comply, but my neck's on the line." And Daniel suggested in verses 11 through 13 an experiment. Daniel said to the overseer whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. And let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. And let our appearance be observed in your presence and the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food. And deal with your servants according to what you see." So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. 10 days can make a big difference. 1 week. What's that food that if you eat it for 1 day, they guarantee 5 pounds? I don't know. There's commercials all over the television on it. 10 days can make a big difference. And the king noticed at the end of the days, which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander, this is verse 18, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them and out of them all not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. As for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus, the king. 10 times better, 10 times wiser than all of the king's other wise men. How can we become like Daniel? First of all, we need personal faith, a growing relationship with the Lord. I can't just know about him. I must know God. Daniel was a man of prayer. Chapter 6, verse 10, 3 times a day, he knelt down before all of the people to pray, and they used it against him. Daniel was a part of a regular fellowship. Add prayer to church, I want to say gathering. Here was the persecuted church under Nebuchadnezzar. 4 people. Jesus said, "Where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there I will be in the midst of them." Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they challenged each other. And they challenged the world. Chapter 1, they challenged the order to eat meat that had been offered to idols. Chapter 2, they challenged being a part of the status quo. See, the king threw them in with all of the other wise men that he had, and he had a dream. And he said, "Unless you can tell me what my dream was, you're all going to die." See, he just didn't want to hear what they thought he wanted to hear. He didn't want just yes men. He wanted people who really could discern and tell him not only the dream, but the interpretation of the dream. Daniel was called. Daniel went back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and said, "Boys, pray for me. I'm going to go into the king." And he went in, and God not only gave him the dream, but the interpretation of the dream. The real truth. Chapters 3 and 6. Two different kings. The first one, Nebuchadnezzar, the second, Darius, sought to be worshipped by Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel was off somewhere. Chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar said, "If you don't bow down to me, I'll throw you in the fiery furnace." Somebody was watching because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't bow. They stood. And the tattlers went to the king. And they said, "King, remember when you said that if people didn't bow down to you, they would be thrown in the fiery furnace?" And the king said, "Yes, I did." They said, "We got three." He said, "Throw them in. Remember what Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name." Jesus walked with them in the fiery furnace and protected them from the flames. They didn't even smell like smoke. The only thing that the fire did was remove the ropes so they could walk. The second forbid anyone to pray to anyone but himself. And in chapter 6, verse 10, Daniel still knelt down three times a day to pray. And again, they went to the king and told him about Daniel. And he was thrown, you know, into the lion's den, not to be harmed by the lions. Today, we face many challenges. So to stand as Daniel stood, to take courage in the face of the changes that are quickly taking place in our culture, to remember that the grace of our God covers all. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity that we have to be like Daniel today. We ask you, Lord, that we might live as lights in a darkening culture, that we might present your gospel clearly and plainly, that people can still come to you and see their lives gloriously changed. We ask, dear Lord, that we might see many people come to you as we stand in this world as Daniel stood back in his day. Give us courage, Lord, the courage of our commitment and the courage of faithfulness to your word. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.